You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. As the public school system grapples with the start date for the new academic year, we hear from the headmaster of Iolani School. The campus is home to more than 500 students, and it's taking a conservative approach to keeping its school community safe. Iolani is one of only a handful of schools which board students, but unlike other campuses which have reduced capacity, the number of boarders is actually up. Here's Tim Cottrell.
Our incoming class for next year is 80 students, and we've configured our program to be able to support them on campus, given all the safety precautions that we would need, you know, given the circumstances. So there's a lot that has been redone for the boarding program to take that into account. Probably the biggest impact on the program is that in prior years, the students had many, many opportunities to leave campus and go to Waikiki and go to the mall and go to different places, hiking and the beach and things like that. So there'll be many more restrictions for them, right? So you could think of them almost as a family that quasi stay at home, and that a lot of their social life will take place on the Iolani campus. The other challenge we have is travel. The restrictions put on travel have made it very challenging for some of our families to be able to get to Oahu. They may be facing a 14-day quarantine in another country that they travel to, and then another potential 14-day quarantine here. So they are part of our focus in terms of the online program that we're going to have this year that runs in parallel to our on-campus academic program.
Compared to last year, have you had to reduce the number of boarding students?
No, this is actually more students than last year.
Really?
No. Well, because our program is new, so we started 2 years ago, and the total program has a capacity of 112 students. And in the first year, we took primarily 9th and 10th graders. And then they moved up to 10 and 11. And last year, we took 9th graders and some 10th graders. So we're kind of, in the school, we call it just a slow bake for the program to build from the bottom up. So next year would be the year where we would conceive of being more toward the full capacity with a full grade of seniors or full class of seniors.
If, let's say, one of the students tests positive, then you have the space on campus to be able to isolate.
We do. So we have those protocols for a student if our student were to test positive, to isolate. We have, the tracking and tracing. So the interior of our dorm is 4 floors, 28 students per floor, but the students live in small areas that we call pods. So these are clusters of 3 or 4 rooms. So we're using kind of a model of those pods being a family unit. So when the students are in the dorm in any other space, they have to wear PPE. They either have to wear a face shield or a face mask. When they're in their little family unit, that's relaxed. And that's part of, in the event of a student being diagnosed, that all those students would be subject to quarantine. And we have enough capacity in the building to be able to isolate students for that period of time. The other thing that you have to really keep track of is the kind of sanitization that you do. So we've added additional people to very routinely and rigorously sanitize the spaces in there, like the bathrooms and other common spaces. It's the space and the size of the program, right? How manageable is the program? Given the travel difficulties, we have 80 students enrolled. We'll probably see 35 to 40 on campus. So for us on campus, that means every student can have individual room of their own and some things like that. I think a larger program wouldn't be able to accommodate. We also have 2 infirmaries, and we have 1 infirmary that's entirely dedicated to the boarding program.
And your boarders, are they predominantly from abroad, or are they from neighbor islands?
They're from both. We have students from neighbor islands. We have students from the mainland U.S. We're probably predominantly, you'd say, Pacific Rim. So the students are from the countries around the Pacific Rim. But we have students from Mexico. We just graduated a student from Turkey. We have some students from Russia, Ukraine coming, right? So, the goal of our program and the reason we built the dorm was to add global diversity to the conversations on our campus. So, in an ideal world, our program matures to include students from all around the world, and including our neighbor islands and the U.S. and Canada and the places closer to home.
And I know with everybody looking toward the new academic year, many schools did roll out a summer program because it was, smaller and more controlled. And if there was a positive case, you folks could react to it and just kind of see how might be the best way to approach a positive case. And I believe you folks had one on your athletic staff, correct?
Correct. So we chose to have our summer program entirely online. And the reason for that was really creating the time for the administration, faculty, and staff to create a very well thought out plan for the school year on campus. And then, as you say, this year we started some conditioning programs for our sports, and each sport had to create an operational plan that was authorized by the administration. So we, at that time, we had swimming, tennis, and football practicing on campus. And then we had the case where a coach had a positive test, and we had to go into our entire protocol. So in the protocol for the operational part of the football program, the way it was run, the football players wore PPE throughout the entire practice. The entire practice was socially distanced. They were cohorted into small groups that didn't interact. So football practice was actually four groups of about 15 students that would be there at different times on opposite ends of the field. So we separated people quite well. When we got the positive case, we took a very conservative stance on that, and we suspended the entire program and notified the families. We were able to arrange for tests for everybody, and fortunately, there wasn't another positive test, right? Everybody who was tested came back negative, and I think, you know, that speaks a little bit to what schools are going to are confronted with and are going to have to handle. We can't control if people become infected outside of our school community. The only thing we can control is to do everything we can do to stem transmission on our campus. And that was, the whole football program was running to do that. So we're somewhat happy that nobody else was infected, and that might be a testament to how the program was run.
As you were describing your football program, right, I mean, parents are there at home trying to figure out, what is this going to be like for my child when they go to band or orchestra or chorus?
Yes, some things aren't going to be possible, right? So when I say kind of, so on our campus, we're focusing very heavily on personal protection equipment, PPE. So our students in all interior spaces will wear a face mask and a face shield, and faculty all the time. So that's, you know, the idea that if there is an infected person, you want to try to stop the virus from getting into the air, and you also want to stop it from being able to enter somebody else's mouth, nose, or eyes, right? We have really careful hand hygiene that's going to go on throughout the day. All of our classrooms are socially distanced. We're using cohorting throughout our campus. We're adding out a lot of outdoor spaces, right? As it's shown that transmission outdoors is much less probable than indoors. So our baseball field is going to be covered with large tents. And for lunch and free periods, our kids will go there. They'll scan in from a QR code where they sit. So we'll be able to track and trace who sits where and next to whom on any given day. So we're really focusing on all of those kinds of things in order to make the campus as safe as possible. We have the Sullivan Center for Innovation and Leadership here, and the theme of that is to tackle real-world problems. And when the pandemic first really came to light here in the community, there was a shortage of PPE for first responders and healthcare workers. So the design team, the adults, the faculty of Sullivan sat down and started designing face shields. And I think to this point, we've given away around 16,000 that we've designed. And they've been approved by different hospitals for use and things like that. So I've seen pictures of them being used in neurosurgery. So we feel comfortable with the face shields we've developed, and we've turned our focus now to making them for the student population, our teaching faculty and staff. And when we can, we're still working with other schools to provide them to other schools as well.
Will you be asking the students to eat their lunch with the shields on?
Yeah, so that was one of the benefits of working with the hospitals, is that we had to create a special design for surgical loupes, kind of the little magnifying glasses that surgeons wear that stick out from your eyes. So it's a little bit further away from your face. So we took that design and worked off it to build the shield that our students will have, which allow you to eat lunch. It's a little offset, a little further from your face, so you can drink from a hydro flask, you can eat lunch with it.
Now, another school, I think, used clear shower curtain liners in their setup. Are you doing yeah. anything like that?
Well, in the first days of doing this, when we were serving the first responders in hospitals, healthcare workers, we bought covers, kind of see-through covers, the kind you would get at FedEx Kinko's, right? And we used those for shields. We bought legal-sized laminate sheet, and ran thousands of pieces of laminate through the laminator to make it clear and use those. And we evolved. Where we are now, we buy rolls of 20 millimeter thick, very transparent, very particular plastics, and we've had dies created to cut those out of those rolls, cut it into shields, the shields that we need.
If there's a will, there's a way, and we're innovating.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Center for Innovation and Leadership, right? So I'm very happy that the folks involved there stepped up, and you know, it benefited the community, and now it's benefiting our school and some of our other schools.
Is there anything else that you can share with us that you're trying that might be different?
You know, most schools know what they would like to do. We're all working off the same toolkit with slightly different variations, right? I think we're probably on the most conservative end of that spectrum by saying we want both. We want a face shield and a face mask while everybody's inside, and that when you go outside, you can pull your face mask down as long as you have your face shield on, right, to get a break from the face mask. But I think, you know, everybody's got the same playbook of PPE, hygiene, distancing, cohorting, symptom monitoring. We're doing that as well at Iolani. Every parent and student will get an app. For every student, they'll be required to log in and answer 5 health questions that are COVID symptoms, the main COVID symptoms, and also give us a temperature reading. So, and that will be seen by our nurses and things like that, and coordinated in terms of how we support families and, you know, absences and things like that.
A lot of planning and forethought going into getting kids back on campus.
And that's the safety side. You know, then the other side that all the schools know is how complicated it is to try to run an online program as well. Right? It's a highly non-trivial thing to say, okay, we're going to try to provide online education that's nearly equivalent to what you would get on campus.
And you folks are doing blended, right? Some on in person and some remote?
Correct. So our families can choose if they want to be online. It's entirely optional, or if they want to be on campus.
Do you have a number yet?
We are sending out this week the questionnaire to ask families what they want to do. I mean, I would say in general, if the survey is answered by students, I can predict what the number is going to be. I mean, I know by and large, kids want to get back to school because they want to see each other again, bring them in, get them on board with what it means to be safe, the mutual responsibility, right? You know, really, really driving home the idea that you're wearing this stuff not just to protect yourself, but to protect everybody around you, right? And if we all do that, we can have a school. Someone said to me months ago that instead of calling this the new normal, we should call it normal plus, because a lot of what we're going through ultimately is pushing us forward with a lot of innovation and a lot of good things that we'll continue to use once we come out of this.
That was Tim Cottrell, headmaster of Iolani School, talking about back-to-school preparations.